Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Anchor. Are you thinking about doing your own podcast, but you don't know how? Well, have you heard about Anchor? It's actually the platform that I'm hosting through this right now. And yes, it's free. Not only is it free, it's super easy to use. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so much more. It's really that easy. And guess what? You can actually make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. That's a big deal. So it's really everything you need in one place to make an amazing podcast. All you have to do is download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
My uncle comes up to my mom. He goes, he's definitely doing drugs. tells my mom this straight up. Oh, he's doing drugs. She's like, what? He's like, he's most likely doing weed. I'm like, that's not how weed works, bro.
Yeah, you'd be so chilled out.
Exactly. And so my mom, one day, I'm like sitting in the room, right? My mom comes in. She kind of looks outside, like looks around the corner, like a drug deal is about to happen. Slams the door. She goes, doesn't even know what weed is, right? Yeah, she just looks at me and goes, yeah, though. But you go ahead. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody. Welcome to an episode of the Genius Bane. Oh, fuck, man.
Bane.
Genius Bane.
Genius Bane. It's a new K-pop group. Genius Bane, forever high five with teenagers. Dude, the fucking 90s Korean pop, what's it called? Group names were the dumbest thing ever, dude. Yeah. What the fuck did high five of teenagers mean?
What the fuck does Finkel mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Fine killing liberty.
Fine killing liberty, right? Hey,
but still, in this day and age too, it isn't any better, you know?
What's, like what's the newest ones?
BTS. I don't even know what that means. Because they call them the Bangtan Boys.
Yeah, Bangtan Boys. I don't know what that means.
But BTB?
Okay, the abbreviation.
Yeah. So what is it?
He's a we want to do behind the scenes. Yeah.
We are Bangtan Shakidar.
Yeah, what is that?
I have no idea.
Because we had Finkel, H-O-T, G-O-D.
Seskies?
Oh, Jeskies. Jeskies.
It's supposed to be short for sexy kiss.
Rula.
Oh.
Rula. I don't know what that means either.
G-O-D?
Yeah, G-O-D.
I don't know. I guess, yeah. Those.
One time. Actually, that was a legit.
That's a legit.
Yeah,
name.
One time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a legit.
Do you remember was it Jinushan? He was the one that got ejected from. No,
Yusungjun.
Yusungjun, yeah. Dude.
Bro.
I was a big fan of his.
He's still to this day, is trying to get his re-entry back into Korea. And like, not too long ago, he put up a video of just like this heartfelt apology and like, hey, isn't enough enough? And then they denied him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said no.
He can't ever go back to Korea.
No.
But he was a Korean, but he grew up here though.
Well, he was born in Korea, did high school here, and then went over there for the career, but then he ditched his military duty. And then that was seen as just like a cardinal sin within the Korean community's eyes.
It still is.
Yeah.
Well, but he was saying, I'm going to come back. I'm going to serve military.
Right, right. It was because of that.
And then like the day of or some shit, he literally got a U.S. citizenship.
Yeah.
Ah, he legally changed his citizenship.
Yeah. So they were like, hey, man, You bamboozled
us. He actually took a flight to Korea to explain his actions, but they sent him back immediately. They deported him immediately.
Damn. Like
30-hour flight.
Yeah.
This was butthurt, aren't we?
Yeah. This has been ongoing for like, I think the past 20 years or
20 years plus, dude.
He's been trying and trying and trying. And some of the hardcore, because the netizens, right? They're a hardcore group of people, bro. These are the type of people who fucking have like the suicide petition if they're not happy about somebody.
Yo, back in the day, I remember, I mean, I might have to look this up because obviously this is before I was, you know, the internet was so highly accessible, right? But it was one of the HOT members. I forgot. He kind of had a pig nose. I don't know, but he, he was really popular. But there was a rumor that he was dating one of the other popular pop girls, like group members. Mm-hmm. And that girl was getting death threats. Like they were mailing death threats because they couldn't get text messages back. I don't know, but they were mailing, say, I'll fucking kill you. I'll find you, which is crazy because talk about a bunch of losers, huh?
Bro, that they're a sensitive losers. Group of people. I mean, but look, man, I'm probably going to catch some flack for saying this, but I do have some insight into the K-pop industry because, you know, I did music for that shit, right? I mean, even within like dating, right? Dating within like the same, I guess, artist group of people, like because you're rubbing shoulders with all these different groups and artists, right? When you're in that scene, that's frowned upon too. And then so like the fans get super upset sometimes if like one of their favorites, there might be rumors about them dating another fellow idol, and then they'll like squash that immediately, like no, they're not dating, they're just friends and they're just hanging out. It's like, bro, come on, man.
That's weird because our tabloids are always about, are they and they dating?
Right. Yeah, they get super hyped up.
Or they want to maintain the purity of these artists to make them
purity,
seem.
Oh, purity, my ass, dude.
That's what I'm saying. We just saw Zendaya and Tom Holland making out in an Audi. Like, and the internet was so happy for it. So it's
but
like,
that's a completely different thing with Korea because like the government also has a stake in it because it's such a huge source of tourism and money for them. Right. And so that's why they have like organizations like MOGEF, I believe what it is, where they censor things. If it's too explicit, like it can't be aired. Like, or if it's like kind of semi-explicit, it can only be aired past like a certain time.
Dude, I'm talk about explicit, dude. Remember back in the day in the K-dramas, how they would kiss?
Oh, that's so bad.
Dude, they wouldn't even kiss. I know, it's like, their lips would just touch.
Yeah. No,
so if
it's not even puckered up, it's just…
Exactly. It's literally that. If you guys are watching, this is the mic. If you guys are watching this on the video side, it's literally.
Yeah.
Just
the
like,
most unemotional.
Yeah.
Unpassionate.
It's so bad.
Yeah. It's just literally their nose and lips touching. But
the worst.
Yeah, they're like super sensitive about that type of shit. And they want to maintain just this pure image of these idols. And they don't ever do things like dating or smoking cigarettes or partying. But it's like, come on, man. They're real human beings. Like,
you don't think that they're fucking partying, doing drugs, getting shit-faced?
For sure they are.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
For sure they are. And but then here's the shit too, is that when they do get caught doing some shit like this, like let's say, for example, a guy like T.O.P. from Big Bang, right? He got caught smoking weed.
Right.
That was like the worst sin he could have ever committed.
And didn't he blame it on some Japanese fans?
I don't know. I don't know who he blamed it on. But
I think that one was G-Dragon. Yeah. So he got caught like… So they did… Usually when you come from another country… I guess they drug test you now. You do a urine test. Well, he got caught with marijuana in his system. And he said he got it because he was in a bathroom after a show in Japan. And two fans came up to him and offered him a cigarette.
I remember that, yeah.
And then it turned out to be weed.
Right, right. So like all these hoops that they got to jump through to make sure that they kind of maintain that type of image to the fans and to the public. It's just like, it's so superficial, man.
It's unnecessary.
So, I like how he just went to the age old, he's a Japanese affair.
Yeah.
It's a piece of a shit of Japanese.
You know, Yilbon shit.
Which is not my part. Yeah, which is fucked up because he was dating a Japanese girl. So,
So I don't think a lot of people know this. Maybe you do or you don't, but weed is a big deal out in Asia.
Yeah. Like, dude, DMC, Demacho?
Yeah.
Demacho, dude. Demacho, man.
People smoke, right?
Dude, my mom used to. I still remember this in high school, right? So, we have a mutual friend named Abe. his dad was such a fucking asshole, right? Like, I had a short temper, but they didn't know what I was going through, right? Like, yeah. You know, all the fucking gangpe type of shit, you know, getting into fights and stuff. So I was, you know, on edge all the time. We also didn't live in a fucking great neighborhood.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm on edge a little bit, right? But, you know, I'm acting erratically like most teenagers do when they're young and hormones are racing. So this fucking asshole, my uncle, comes up to my mom. He goes, he's definitely doing drugs. tells my mom this straight up. Oh, he's doing drugs. She's like what? He's like, he's most likely doing weed. I'm like, that's not how weed works, bro.
Yeah, you'd be so chilled out.
Exactly. And so my mom, one day I'm like sitting in the room, right? My mom comes in. She kind of looks outside, like looks around the corner, like a drug deal is about to happen. Slams the door. She goes, doesn't even know what weed is, right? Yeah, she just looks at me and goes, yeah, though. Do you go ahead? She does a sign for weed. No. Oh, first of all, how do you know what this is? Who taught you this?
She's done it herself, yeah, bro.
No, you go ahead. You go.
That's funny.
All she does. Yeah. She doesn't know the words for it, but she knows the motions for it, right? Yeah. So she would talk about, like, I always joke around with Mariel about this stuff because my mom would be like, she probably like saw it on TV or something, right? She's like talking about needles. She goes, no.
Oh my God.
No, you got it.
Yeah. Not only do we do great onomatopoeias, we pantomime really well.
We pantomime. She might as well just wrap her arm. No.
Yeah. No, you go. Chuk, 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 chuk.
You go. You go. Chuk, 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 chuk. You go. You go. In Asia, like doing weed is considered the worst thing that you could ever do. It happened to Jackie Chan's kid.
Mm-hmm. He abandoned his son.
Yeah.
He straight up disowned his son over his son's like weed issues.
Weed usage.
And like selling weed.
Like if you get caught with weed in Japan, man, you're in jail for a long time. Yeah. Hey,
all over Southeast Asia, life in prison.
Yeah.
Hey, years ago, had I was about to say the name. Not the name. Won't say the name. But this is way back when, right? Somebody that we knew in our church had a kid. Well, their family is pretty well off, right? Dope family, like business that they're doing or whatever, whatnot. And they were pretty known to be pretty well off at the church. This kid doesn't need money, right? But goes off to college, meets a bunch of people, and they get the bright idea through some type of connect that they knew that they could smuggle weed into Japan.
Oh. Yeah, right.
Right? It's like, yo, we got this whole connect. If we do this, we can all make, I don't know, 30 or 40 grand a piece. It's a lot of money. If you could smuggle fucking weed in Japan, you can make a fucking killing because that shit is like having a high level narcotic.
Yeah.
Like you're caught with like an ounce of it, you're in jail for 20 years.
Yeah.
You're fucked, right?
Yeah.
Parents are pretty well off. Doesn't actually need the fucking money at all whatsoever, right? Does a trip to Japan. Gets fucking caught with a shit ton of weed.
That is so fucking
shit ton, right? Comes back. This person, as this church member, starts coming and starts asking, like, hey, we need to borrow money. We need money for lawyers or whatever because he's out there in Japan. And then couldn't even tell them. I mean, I know this now as an adult because, you know, when you kind of hear this as a kid, you don't know the severity of it. Mm-hmm. But now that I know as an adult, like, lady, he's still over there right now. He's still in Japan in jail.
Oh my gosh.
He's not coming out.
Damn.
He is absolutely not coming out.
Homie of mine is in jail right now in Japan as well.
For trying to sell weed?
Not weed, but smuggling some other drug. And he got
Tylenol.
Dude, they don't even allow Adderall over there. It's an amphetamine. You know?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So
yeah, they're very, very strict about, about drugs. Where I mean, it's nothing like here in the States where we could fucking pull up our phone, order weed from an app, right?
Yeah, and get it delivered. Like, I've been dreaming about like making a pro weed video in Korean with Korean American smoking weed. Tell Koreans, look, you guys are a bunch of fucking alcoholics. Meanwhile, I'm grabbing my drink. You guys are a bunch of alcoholics.
Not
like,
you guys. We are a bunch of alcoholics.
It would serve, you know, like if you see a map of like the biggest alcohol consumers, like in Asia, it's like this big bright red in South Korea for how much alcohol they consume. It's the same as Russia.
Alcohol is cheaper than water.
It is cheaper than water. $1.99
in a juice box. Yeah, $2.
Out of all the cultures who need weed, it's Korean
people. It's Korea. Yeah, they need
especially
to get off that alcohol.
Work culture. Yeah. Like, they need to take it easy a little. Yeah. Bro, you see legit businessmen fucking passed out on the street in public in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
You know? Because they're fucking working so hard, they just get blasted in on a Wednesday.
You know what was weird, really weird, like that I would see in Japan when I was there, is that during the daytime, you see these businessmen, they're so proper, right? But once it hits like 10 p.m., 11 p.m., oh, yeah. and they're at the yakitori spot, the yeah. bar spot, they're just like, you know, I'm like, what yeah. the fuck? Oh, the demon comes out, dude. And they're wound the fuck up from work. And they're drinking all the way till fucking the a.m., dude.
Yeah,
and they go home and they sleep for a couple of hours and they do it all over again. Dude,
in Seoul and Tokyo, both places, I've seen so many businessmen, like salarymen, passed out on the subway.
Absolutely.
Passed out on the street on the bushes, some shit.
I've heard so many things about like in terms of like Korean business culture and how it works in terms of like the Korean nuclear family. It's like the guy goes out, he makes money. He could do whatever he wants as long as the lady doesn't know. She doesn't want to hear shit. So they'll go out, they'll, you know, get a bunch of hookers or whatever because they're super stressed. They know. But as long as the friends don't hear about it,
yeah.
or other people don't hear about it, they're like, whatever, it's fine. And what the ladies will do is like, I'm going to take your money and then I'm going to go get some other boys to go fuck.
Dude, so when they were trying to close down that hooker street in Korea, like they…
The red light district in Korea.
Yeah, right? The red light district. They were
hooker street?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't know the red light district. But you know, it is a street where it's like these glass windows where you see these women. They were trying to shut that down, right? Guess who came to protest? These ajumas.
Oh.
Housewives.
That's like, interesting.
We don't want our husbands to come home and do whatever the fuck they want to do to them, to us.
That's yeah.
Their wild, crazy shit.
That's yeah.
Like, don't break up our home.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's hilarious.
I remember seeing these articles where it's like these old women, like older middle-aged women, like protesting, not shutting it
like
down.
They need to get their fucking nut off, dude.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like an unspoken understanding within like
Korean culture. Oh yeah, the all Korean these ladies wearing sunglasses and masks.
Right, sure. Right. So it's like the women, if they are stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home wives, they and the man is the breadwinner, then there's kind of this understanding that in order for the man to progress in his career and climb the corporate ladder, there's certain things that need
to… He has to go out and drink.
Right,
he has to do the stuff the other men are doing.
And so you could even say, hey, I don't like doing that, but my boss wants me to do it. What do you want me to do?
My boss told me to stick this light bulb up my ass. What am I supposed to say? No. Yeah.
I have to get my dick sucked every day.
But fortunately, I've been hearing that the work culture in that sense has been kind of changing.
Right.
Evolving in a better way now.
A few of those… businesswomen actually sued their bosses.
Good.
And they said it's unconstitutional to force them to go out to drink every night with their bosses.
Yeah,
good. Because
they'd have to stay out there and the boss wants to go next place, next place.
Yeah.
Your boss might be an alcoholic and you're not.
Fuck.
You just got to go
for
out.
For sure,
and you still got to work tomorrow and before.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And here's the thing too of like the whole idea of you can't leave before your boss leaves. So even if you're done with your work, you're just sitting there. And if your boss is there till 9, then you're there till 9. And the boss is like, all right, just kidding.
Just stretches. Like, I thought we were about to leave.
Yeah, and then at 11, he's like, okay, guys, let's leave. But you're not going home. We're going to the restaurant.
Funniest work culture, Korean work culture thing is this fool told me when he was on set doing a Hyundai commercial.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, one of the funniest fucking stories ever because it showed how different Korean people work, especially in the film and like professional industry than it does in America. And they don't realize it doesn't fucking translate over here. You can't treat people like how you treat in Korea in the States.
The fucking director said he was going to kick my ass. I'm like, no, go. I'm like, what? We're in America, bro.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get all stars and bars with them at that moment. Like, can't say that shit here.
Dude, I know, man. I know how different it is, man. When I was working with Korea too, man, like they would call me at 4 a.m. and they know what time it is over here, right? And then it's like, oh, were you sleeping? Well, anyway, we need to… And I'm like, come on, bro. Have some respect, man.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just email me all the stuff that you want to talk about and then I'll respond in a very timely manner. But then they would literally call me for one thing at a time. Call me at 4. Call me back 4:30. Hey, oh, by the way, there's another… I'm like, dude, come on, man. I'm trying to get some sleep. For reals? But they don't care. It's just whatever they need done, they want to get it done.
Talk about an asshole. Let's talk about this story, dude.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that
and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
My lovely genius brain farts. This podcast is brought to you by Fume. Ever try to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've been there too, but here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up. It's about switching up, baby. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. What is Fume, you ask? Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy that makes replacing your bad habit easy. I keep one in my car just because I'm a fidgety guy. And guess what? I'd be puffing on that delicious herbal tea vapor, my friends. Nothing bad for you in there. And definitely, definitely fun to use. My friends, start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/genius and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when they use my code genius to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Start the good habit at tryfume.com/genius to save 10% off the journey pack today.
Hey all, it's David So, and if you want to listen to Genius Brain without ads, now you can. Just go to geniusbrain.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free. You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting my show too. That's geniusbrain.supercast.com. Thanks.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? My friends, you guys know that I have been there, and mental health is something that I really focused on, specifically in the last 2 years, ever since the pandemic. It's been kind of rough. And, you know, with BetterHelp, I've been able to communicate with therapists in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. And here's the best thing about BetterHelp. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they can make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. I've been using it for a while. I wouldn't recommend something like this if I didn't think it worked, but BetterHelp has been a great fit for me, and it could be a great fit for you as well. So visit betterhelp.com/genius. That's better H-E-L-P, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. So remember, my friends, special offer for Genius Brain listeners, get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/genius.
We never told you this, but there's somebody that I actually hooked Ed up for a very fucking simple job, right? This guy, I'm not going to give out his name because I'm going to be very respectful, but I should, because you should never, ever work another fucking job ever again. You piece of fucking shit.
Piece of shit. Very good.
Just to give you guys a backstory, right? So this is somebody that I've worked with before, which this is kind of my fault because I actually did have problems with him before. Mm-hmm. But I assumed it was because of the job that he was in. And so now that he's in another position, he would actually know what he's doing, because this was a newer company and it was pretty simple, right? So when I was working at this company before, it was an entertainment company. Not going to give out names, of course, because once again, trying to be very polite. David So is turning a new leaf, you fucking son of a bitch.
Yeah, but, so you don't have to censor yourself later in post.
Yeah, exactly. It's just too much work. Let's just call this guy Billy, all right? So this guy fucking Billy, right? If you guys know that when it comes to entertainment, or you know what, just in any professional job, right? There's a lot of people who kind of climb the corporate ladder, not because of their skill set, but because they know how to use their mouthpiece really fucking well.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem with that. Once you start reaching a certain level, you actually have to know what the fuck you're doing. And when you don't, you become a person who delegates jobs to other people who have never done what these people have done. So he doesn't actually know what those jobs entail. And when things go bad, all this person does is blame it on everybody fucking else when he's the ringleader. So when I was at this company, we were shooting some stuff, right? I've shot my own shit my whole life. And on top of that, I've shot it with people who have been in this industry for a very long time. And it's hot as fuck this day, right? And he had they basically brought A7S2s. A7S2s, these cameras, they're DSLRs, but they're made, quote unquote, made for film. Well, at this time, the A7S2 was notorious for overheating. It was 105 degrees that day.
Holy shit.
Right? 105 degrees and rented out two A7S2s to shoot. And I'm like, hey guys, you should probably switch out that camera because it's going to overheat. And the camera crew looked at me and they're like, we know. We fucking hate these cameras. Yeah. We've told them multiple times it's not going to fucking work. So we're shooting 30 minutes in, camera shut off. It's 105 degrees. I'm talent at this point. I'm exhausted, right?
Yeah.
So we had to wait another 2 hours just to wait for the cameras to cool down.
Wow.
Right? They went to go get B-roll, shot B-roll. Overheated again. Had to wait another 2 hours for it to cool down. Everybody is fucking pissed and irritated, right?
Because you have to stay out there longer.
Exactly. And so message, emails like, hey, so we've been out here. It was me and somebody else. Well, we've been out here shooting for, I don't know, 8 hours. And we haven't gotten anything done because of the camera equipment that you rented out. And saw the email thread where they were telling him these cameras will not work. Right. But he's trying to squeeze a small budget, which he doesn't have to. You just got to rent a good camera. It's not that much difference in price. But he wants to be like, I actually know what I'm doing. I've done film work. I've done this. Clearly, you fucking haven't.
Yeah.
So I'm on the email and I was like, hey, guys, like I've done rental equipment. I have my own equipment. I actually have these cameras. We can't use these cameras. Right. He goes, it's perfectly fine. I was like, no, I'm telling you right now that as your talent, I'm not shooting again tomorrow if I have to wait here for 8 hours and get sunburned.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. You don't do that to talent in general, right? I shouldn't have to teach you how to run a production. So this is that same fucking asshole. So later on, he comes out, apologizes. He goes, oh, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I've done this before. It's not my first rodeo. I'm like, well, you know.
What's even worse than you fucking idiot?
Exactly. Camera crew told you what the problem was. I gave you a heads up. You chose to ignore it, right? And he did this like consistently throughout the thing. And I kept on giving a chance because he was super nice. Outside of working, he was super dope. He also has a habit, which you guys know in corporate world, where somebody you'll have an idea and they'll steal it and take it and act as if it was theirs.
One of those motherfuckers.
So we were speaking to your email thing, right? About people just doing those emails things super abruptly. I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
So, first warning for him was this. I told him, hey, I don't like my time wasted. So when we're a part of this stuff and I'm also producing and I'm also talent of the show, I need you to make sure that when you do get on a call with me, that you know what you're saying, and then we have a plan set out. So can you give me an itinerary before you come up and do this? Because a lot of the times when I'm having phone calls with you, you're calling to ask me if I can take a call tomorrow as you're calling me. I was like, let's not do that. I have a lot of things I have to get done.
Yeah.
He goes, cool, got it. He goes, hey, super important meeting. Can I get you for about 30 minutes? And I'm like, cool, let's talk. Hits me up. I shit you fucking not. He goes, okay, so there's a show idea that I have for you that I want to buy you. This is the show idea. Do you think it's cool? I'm like, that sounds dope. He goes, cool. We're good. And I'm like, what did I fucking just tell you? I had to rearrange my other meetings to pick up this phone call. You could have written that in an email. Why didn't you write it in a fucking email? And I wrote this in a thread back to him with his boss in it. Right? Yeah. And I was like, you did this too many fucking times to me. This is like his third or fourth time he did this. Mm. And so what he's doing and what I found out just by working with these companies, he actually doesn't have anything to do. So he has to create a schedule, put it in a calendar because his boss is watching him. I'm busy because I have to call this person. I'm busy because I have to do this. But instead, what he's doing is he's trying to keep his job as long as possible. He's
putting fillers in there.
Yeah. While he fucks up everybody else's shit and he doesn't care.
It's a bad Dragon Ball episode.
Exactly. Just constantly. So we had another project that we had to work on, right? We're working on this project and I asked before they were going to hop on this new project. It didn't happen, by the way, so it didn't come out. I was like, listen, for this project, I just want to be talent. But if you want to start this new thing and you want me to help develop this, then I'm also going to be a showrunner. Then it's a different rate. It's a different deal, right? He goes, cool. Well, we want you to be a showrunner. We like your ideas. We like the way that how you produce things because you've done it with another film. So we would like to bring that expertise here. I was like, cool. All you have to do for me before we start this is write in an Excel sheet different. It was a food show, like different restaurants that you want to visit, and at least fill out the Excel sheet, and then I can write it in for you. Right? Yeah. He goes, got it. This fool sends me an Excel sheet. It says location, food.
What? Location, food.
And I wrote back to him in the email. I wrote, LOL question mark. What is this? Right? He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so busy. Blah, 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 blah. Like I couldn't get to it. I was like, just say you don't know how to do an Excel sheet.
Yeah.
LOL.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, and then I had Mariel do an Excel sheet. I asked her to do it because that's what she does when she's amazing at it. Does it in 5 minutes.
Dude.
Send it back to him. Filled it out. I was like, this is the Excel sheet. So we have a meeting the next day with new showrunners, and we're trying to pitch it to this network, right? They're super excited for the stuff. He goes, hey guys, so I made this Excel sheet. I wrote out a bunch of these. These are the restaurants that I want to hit.
You're in the meeting?
I'm in the meeting. And I was like, I'm in the fucking meeting, right?
Oh no.
And then my buddy's next to me hearing this, and he could see my face go. And I go, time out. I was like, Justin, you made the Excel sheet or did I make it?
Yeah.
Right? He goes, oh, like, you know, it was our idea. It's like, no. Who made the Excel sheet? Who wrote the restaurants and who wrote these ideas? Right? I was like, was it you or was it me? Right? He goes, yeah, you did. I was just kind of just getting the meat. I was like, no. Who wrote it? I need you to say it in the meeting. I'm livid at this point. And people are quiet, right? Yeah. They're like, yeah, you wrote it. It was your ideas. Cool. I just wanted to get that straight because you just said that you did all the work.
Yeah.
Right? So after the meeting's done, They're you know, schmooze. I made everybody laugh. We got rid of that weird negativity in the beginning. They were going to green light it, but they lost their funding. He comes back after the meeting, emails me, and you know he does this, emails me. He goes, hey, I want to apologize, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
dude.
And I just wrote back to him, don't apologize. Don't ever do that to me ever again. Right? And then, you know, he was just telling me about all the stress. So once again, he goes, so there's other stories too. He just continually does this. So he goes to a new company, right?
Yeah.
And before I brought Ed on, I wanted to make it very clear what Ed's job was, right? I was like, what's his job? He just comes in, he shoots, and he edits this quick green screen thing. I was like, cool. How much time is it going to take? He goes, honestly, you go in a couple of hours, you guys will be out. I promise you, super fucking easy. I was like, great. You know what? We did work together before, but despite all the other negative stuff, we did have a good time. You know, we were kicking it. We were boys for a little bit outside some of the weird work stuff. Fine. I'll do you a favor. We'll get it done. Ed could get a quick check. I'll get a quick check. We're out. And this is where Ed comes in.
So David hits me up, tells me there's a gig coming. I'm like, cool. Just shoot and edit. Just cheap green screen. It's supposed to look cheap. Okay. All right. And then I do a FaceTime call with this guy. At this point, he's a VP of this company.
Yeah.
Wow. Right? Yeah. He made his way up to as the VP of this company.
Whose dick did he suck?
that's the fucking $1,000 question, man. Because as I was working with him, I really wondered how he got to his place or where
he's
he
is. He's a fast talker, dude.
Yeah.
Fast New Yorker, dude.
So like our chat was like 30 minutes. Exactly what David said. He said, we just need to shoot it and edit it and then and that's it or whatever. But then he goes, this is just a formality. You already have the job, but why don't you, write a quick budget, write a document showing the idea, like a EPK,
yeah,
pretty much like a proposal,
mm-hmm, which was not a part of the fucking deal. Mm.
And why don't you write the rough draft script and then just send it to me tomorrow? So in a day. In a day, I wrote this proposal.
Which he shouldn't have done in the first place.
No designs or anything. Just, I can't believe I even did this work. I took clips of the idea of what it's supposed to look like, turned them into GIFs, and put them in the fucking PowerPoint. And then I sent them all. It was days. I didn't hear back from him after I sent him the proposal, right? I'm like, we have to shoot this thing. You want this on in 2 weeks, you know? It's not the problem that, you can shoot it really fast. It takes a lot longer to edit and do the motion graphics on this.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm sitting waiting 3 days later. The weekend I thought we should be shooting, he emails me back upset. He's incensed. He's really upset at the quality of the script. He's like, what is this? This is not what we want. We want this, 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 this. I need these changes in the script, blah, 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 blah. And as I'm reading his changes, I'm just like, okay, he said it's a formality. I'll do it to my limits. You know, what I can do for as much money as we agreed upon, you know? So I spend the next fucking 5 days going back and forth with this motherfucker, rewriting this script. And at this point, I'm like, dude, we just wasted a week. We need to shoot this quick because I need more time to edit this. All of your ideas cost more and more money. He essentially wanted two videos in one. Because in the video that was originally planned, there's going to be another video in there that requires a lot of fucking work. You know?
Which was never the original plan. I specifically asked him what his job entailed. He goes, I just need him to shoot this simple green screen thing.
Hello, my friends. Let's keep this podcast nice and beautifully sponsored with our amazing sponsor, Candid, my friends. There's a specialist for just about everything. When my car breaks down, I go to a mechanic. When there's a problem with my shower, I call a plumber. So when you have uneven, crooked Plymouth rock, just a handful of Skittles and Chicles, like just a bunch of, you know, when your dog eats bones and just white dookie comes out of his butt, that's your teeth, you need an orthodontist. They're the specialists, and that's what sets Candid, the invisible, comfortable, and removable aligners above the rest. While poorly reviewed or insanely priced clear aligner companies use general dentists, Candid only works with orthodontists. Your treatment is prescribed and closely monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. The average Candid treatment is only 6 months. You'll start seeing results way before then, and it costs thousands less than traditional braces. Candid can help you get the straighter, brighter smile you've always wanted. Right now, you can save $75 on your Candid starter kit when you get started from home, or you can book an appointment at a Candid studio near you today. Go to candidco.com/brain and use code brain. That's candidco.com/brain, code brain. Take advantage of this limited time offer to save $75 on your starter kit. candidco.com/brain, code brain.
And that's it. Green screen work is very simple.
Well, you got him writing scripts from this proposal.
No, but it was a lie. The script itself, the story itself was very big and grand.
He shouldn't have it. The script was supposed to be done already. The idea and everything was supposed to be written out.
Literally, the only thing he's supposed to do is shoot.
Come and shoot.
And edit it.
And edit it. That's all it. His job was supposed to entail.
Because he told me it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be shitty. It's supposed to be meta, something, whatever, right? So I was like, all right, whatever. Like, let me just quickly write this thing, right? And he was upset, for one. Then I kept redoing it, and he wasn't happy with it. And when, as soon as I got into my mind, like, this motherfucker, this proposal could have taken a week to put together. He's actually using that week on me to keep making it.
Yeah.
You know, and he was going to take the proposal to his bosses to get it approved and say he made. That's only my assumption. But by everything you're saying about his character, that's what he's doing.
Which I was fucking shocked. Because if Ed had told me, he was like, hey, he's asked me to write a script, I would have chewed his ass out. Because when he told me that like 2 weeks later, and I was like, what the fuck? And I messaged him immediately. I'm like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? Is X and X true? He goes, oh, this is a complete misunderstanding. And I was like, it's not a misunderstanding. I read what you wrote to him. So what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, right? I mean, like, I hit you up because after a week, I was looking at the project. Like, one thing you get as an editor is some foresight. You get to see in your brain when you're in pre-production exactly how long this is going to take.
Right.
And we're coming up on I'm only going to have a few days to do this, shoot and edit it. Right. When we had days before to actually get it done. And whatever. But no, he wasted the time on telling me to redo it until I said, you know what? It's not worth it. I wrote an email. I was like, it's not worth it. You're asking all these things. It's a video within a video. I should be getting like X amount of dollars for this. Not what we agreed on. And for me, it's not worth it. Sorry. I hope you finish this project with somebody else. And then he started apologizing to me.
You know why? Because it's due date time, baby.
He started apologizing to me. And then I ignored it. I straight up ignored it. And I just texted you and I said, yo, I'm not on the project anymore. Sorry, bro. And you were like, what the fuck? What happened? I'm like, I thought you were in the know too. And I was like, no, there was two different things he was saying between me and to David.
Yeah. So I was like, hold on. Yeah. You know, I'm always going to take my guy's side,
right?
And because, once again, this is, I have to take responsibility for this because I knew this behavior that he had, but because I had it written down and I asked him explicitly what it was for, easy check. One day of work it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Even the editing was supposed to be hyper simple. So when I heard that, I was fucking pissed, you know? And then he kept coming back. He goes, okay, well, what about a kill fee? Blah, blah, blah. Like, because he wants to make it right. Because he still wants to work with me, right? Because he wants to work with me and, you know, my network too. Uh-huh. I'm like, bro, anybody that mentions your fucking name,
we're done.
I'm trashing you to everybody I know. Bro.
And he was not happy with my budget. But like, because every time he wanted to redo, like, and have me rewrite the script, I kept upping the budget considering the time.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I sent the very last rewrite, I wrote him a new budget, like double the price.
Yeah.
Because I was like, look how much time I have left. Not only that, how right now with a few days left, how many people? Because he was starting to assign me to find people to help shoot it, help PA.
Which is not your job.
Yeah, exactly.
He wanted all in one.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't want to do all any of the one. Fucking work.
I started realizing I was doing all of his work.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah, and I was like, what? I'm producing it now too?
He's the worst type of assholes who have no respect for like the creative process and the creators.
Because he doesn't know.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. A lot of it usually stems from ignorance. And they just think creators are really at their mercy because they're the ones who are providing the paycheck or whatever, and they can just get them to do anything that they want them to do. It's like, nah, motherfucker, creating is work too, man.
Exactly.
It's time and energy, you know, and really, a skill.
And really what happened with him, and I think what I'm assuming right now is what a lot of people do, is that he had probably a really good job. He got to throw his producer title on a couple of projects just because he threw some money at it. And, you know, he kind of sweet talked his way into it. And he's like, look at all I've done these major big productions. And when really he didn't do anything at all. Yeah. So that's why when it came to film equipment, when it came to anything that had to do with film, shooting, writing, he actually doesn't know what it entails and how fucking hard it is. So he basically bullshit, like everything.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah,
oh,
that's what
like,
it sounds like,
why can't you just do this? I mean, why can't I just fucking do this, dude? What do you mean? Have you even tried doing this before?
Yeah. He was projecting so much shit onto me when it was his job to do.
Because the job wasn't getting done.
And I think in his mind, I was some schmuck out of college, mm-hmm. who just got out of film school, who's desperate for work, you know? And I'm like, nah, I'm here for David.
Yeah.
I want to do this because I'm here with David.
So one of the things
I'm not
wrote
doing
to
this
him.
For you. I don't want to work with you.
But we were on the phone. So one of the things I told him too, I was like, hey, bro. Like, you're being super disrespectful to this. Like, I think he just got, I was like, it's not a miscommunication. I was like, this guy, he's worked with Disney projects, OPI, Red Robin, major corporate projects. This is a favor. He's doing a favor for us right now, man. I was like, there's absolutely no way that you're going to get somebody at his caliber for this rate. It doesn't work that way. And he just doesn't get it.
Imagine if he has Dan.
Dude. Do that.
No, yo, six-figure gig.
Yeah. Easy.
You know? That's why I was just like… And the fact that he was upset that I upped the budget and it was still not enough…
Yeah.
He was so fucking mad at me.
Yeah.
That's where I was getting mad at him. That's the most ridiculous part.
Yeah, so what you were saying about his disrespect… It's a weird complex. He does absolutely shameful things, but does everything he can to avoid shame, right? That's why he constantly apologizes, because he doesn't really mean any of the apology. He just wants you to forget about it, save face, because he forgets about it. That's why he makes the same mistakes over and over again. Because, oh, people are cool when you apologize.
Yeah.
And he thinks it's like, now it's your problem because he's the one to apologize. But it's like, how many times are you going to fuck up? How did you fuck your way up to vice president of this
After
company?
After that too, he just kept messaging me and texting me. I ignored everything. I was like, you know what, bro? I'm going to let you stew on this. Didn't respond back. Won't talk to him till this day. There's absolutely no point.
Yeah.
Because of the level of disrespect. It's like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
I mean, once you've given somebody the benefit of the doubt just to, you know, be like, all right, man, maybe you did fuck up or maybe you did, you know, something wrong.
If you ever happen to hear this podcast, I hope you know I badmouth you to every person in this industry that I know.
I fucking hate you, dude.
You are
piece
a terrible, terrible person.
I don't even know you, but fuck you too, bro.
Literally, these things matter. Like, you could have an opinion about people's artwork, whatever. That's opinions, right?
Yeah.
When you fuck people over at work and a job like that many times, I will make sure you never fucking work again.
The problem is not only is this motherfucker a leech, he's also a vulture.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. He takes from, like, that's what I'm saying. He literally looked at me and thought that I was some kid fresh out of school, desperate to get in the business. And it's like, nah, I'm burnt out by the business because I've so met so many people like you. Yeah. Like, I'm weary of you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Man, like that shit, I couldn't believe this shit was happening. I was like, the audacity of this guy, the balls on this guy.
And I think you kind of touch upon a good point with that in terms of like burning out with something that you love to do because of people like this.
Yeah.
I think a lot of creators can relate to that because a lot of the times you go into this field, whatever field it may be, thinking, man, this is what I love to do. I want to build myself a career in it, try to build some success. But you can't do it by yourself. You are going to be working with these other people. Yeah. And sometimes those people might be your boss or the person who writes your check. And then you get that type of experience over and over again.
Yeah.
And you just like, fuck this, man. That's, like
the wild thing is that they're in every industry.
Yeah.
You know, the director who doesn't know how to edit, the producer who doesn't know how to shoot, the all of these things who doesn't, anybody up top in some managerial business position, network position, they're the ones producing and putting it together. They're not doing any of the work.
Hey, I'll tell you this, man. Like, I'm not, I could say this about myself easy. Anytime that I've been in a set that hasn't been mine, there has never been a single person that has ever complained about my work ethic or how I treated people. You know why? It's because I've done everybody else's job.
Yeah. Like, you know what it takes.
I've done all your jobs and I know how hard your job is and I respect it, right? So I'm never trying to make a Cord's job difficult. I'm never trying to make a producer's job difficult. Though some people might, except for companies that I hated, right? Yeah. You motherfuckers like dicked around with me, so I made your job difficult. You know what I mean? But people who are always respectful and we always made things happen, I made it as easy as possible. Nobody has ever complained. When I was on The Best Leftovers Ever, the first thing they said off the bat is like, you're the easiest talent I've ever worked with. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, because I know you're what your job is. Like, the last thing you want to do is worry about me.
Yeah.
Like, you got so much fucking shit to do. I'm going to make sure that I come on time and I'm going to make sure I fucking kill it every time.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that power tripping, power complex type of shit. You know what I mean? The feeling that they have this power over people and they flex that and thinking that they can because nobody can really say shit to them.
Right up until I knew that he has no power over me if I just drop out.
Right.
You're the one that's fucked.
He gets fucked.
Yeah. I'm only doing this now. I was doing it for David, but the way he's been doing the emails and talking to me, it turned more into I was doing this for him. Mm. Once I saw, wait, I'm not doing this for David anymore.
Man, you could have been on some petty shit and kept being like, yo, I got more ideas, more, drag it out to like the day before. Yeah,
not that right. You didn't sign any contract.
I didn't sign no contract. Yeah. It was written, not written. It was just a gentleman's agreement. He was like, you got this job. You know, he was saying like the money's practically yours. Oh, I just need you to do this formality.
But you can't have a gentleman's agreement with a scumbag.
Yeah,
bro.
You can't.
You can't. The prerequisite there is that both are gentlemen.
Like no matter where anybody works out there, you're going to find people that are going to try to take advantage of you because they just don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're going to try in every fucking industry. I have ran through this so many times. And it's just like, dude. Sometimes you just have to stand up for yourself and say, you know what? I don't got to take this shit at all. I'll go find something else.
Yeah. Now, that happened to me in another company where I saved them 30 Gs. I saved them 30 Gs on a project just because I turned the camera sideways. Because they were shooting all this green screen. They needed HD and all that. But they weren't getting resolution if you shoot landscape. Like, you're not going to use all of these sides. Just get more resolution turning it sideways. Forget all this DP, this da 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 da. And you have all these people on set and we cut them all out. And this were all my suggestions and they saved 30 Gs. So as shitty as this stupid fucking show was, they saved money for the budget for the money that they didn't use, right? Then I'm in the post debrief meeting and one of the producers straight tells them everything that I did as if he did it. And that he saved his money for them.
Damn, one of those motherfuckers.
Yeah,
too, huh?
People same do as that. Happens in the corporate world. Like I save another company hundreds of thousands, you know, because there's blue tape on a thing and I got to CG that shit out, you know, and After Effects. And then the whole thank you email to everyone, I'm excluded, you know? Like
I had so recently with a personal friend of mine just told me this the other day, was working on a project for a very long time with this person who was an entertainer. Helped set up this whole system, everything for him, right?
Yeah.
A discrepancy over a bill that needed to be paid, an invoice. By the way, invoice, $150. $150.
Yeah.
Right? Been working for this person for like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. Ghost him on an email. Second email goes, hey, we no longer will be needing your services. Thank you for all the stuff that you've done. Blah, 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 blah. You know, whenever you're in town, let's have you back on a couple episodes on this project. He lives in LA.
Whenever
you're
back in town.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, what the fuck? There was like company dinners he wasn't invited to.
Oh man.
Right? The audacity, dude. Yeah. It's like, at least have the level of decency to like, I don't know, converse about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just have a conversation like, hey, what happened here? Right. Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just more human behavior where they don't want to be ashamed or belittled or feel less than the power trip thing. It's the nature of the business in LA is that the sharks who get on top, they're not actually any of the artists.
Bro, and by the way, this is not me just taking his word for it. I wanted to see the email thread because, you know, people can kind of twist their stories. I was like, let me see the email. Like, I saw his email thread. Yeah. I was like, let me see the email thread. Bro.
Condescending, fucking rude.
Condescending as fuck, dude. Same thing with this guy. Same shit. So, it was over a discrepancy over an animation that this person did for this project. He goes, hey, it's $150. I did it here, blah, blah, blah. And he writes back. He goes, well, actually, you didn't send it in on time. So I had to wait for it for a couple of days. And then I saw it in the inbox. He goes, cool. He writes him back. He goes, well, actually, timestamp it screenshots when it was uploaded and sent. Right? He goes, I sent it on the day that you requested at this time. It was already there.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe you didn't check it. But he timestamped everything. Because it's a computer. The timestamps are there. Especially when you upload it to a digital Dropbox.
Yeah.
Ghost him for like a few days. And then fires him.
My God.
Did his job to the T exactly the way he was supposed to do it.
Man.
Fires him.
He's like, rather than being wrong,
I'm just going to fire him. Yeah. The audacity, dude.
Yeah.
The fucking audacity. But I'm saying, people care more about their ego than they care about people.
They just care about themselves, period. You know, they like not just an ego thing, man. Just improving their own situation and their own status and their own circumstances. And it's like, fuck everybody else along the way. That's the worst when people like that are in a position of power. The first question you think naturally is, how the fuck did you get there, first of all?
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, I could see why you're staying there.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to fuck over all these people along the way. Yeah. That shit's going to catch up to you at some point. Motherfucker's going to get you at one point.
I was
going to
catch this motherfucker, dude.
Yeah.
Somebody was asking about, I forgot what project it was, but his name came up. I was like, let me tell you about this guy. You know?
How much time you got, buddy?
Yeah.
Didn't get that job.
Yeah.
There's also somebody else too. There's a piece of shit. Wanted to work with Dan. I was like, let me tell Dan about this guy.
Yeah.
Not working for him anymore.
Yeah.
You fuck people over like that and you're a terrible piece of shit, people will find out. And if I'm going to, like, especially because that's a reflection of me, like, I never want you to work for them.
That's the thing. Like, you and I weren't attached to a deadline.
Yeah.
You know, because that's his job to worry about. Me, as a guy who didn't sign nothing, I didn't have to care about a deadline. I just knew he was being late and the deadline was coming and I couldn't do it. Mm. And I said, sorry, I can't do it.
But to get mad at somebody through an email?
Yeah.
Like, well,
to be condescending, disrespectful, like, that's so unnecessary.
Shit was 3 weeks late by that point. So they released that video. My fucking script. They made it, dude. It's posted on their Instagram, on their website too. But they were trying to sell and shit. They made my script, dude.
Wow.
You should fucking sue them.
Yeah.
It's like,
remember the assets he gave me? One JPEG of a girl. And then like in the final video, there was all of these assets I could have used. Like they had videos of it, not just one JPEG. And I was like, what the fuck?
Why don't you send that idiot?
Yeah. Like he had all of this shit with him and he didn't, that he didn't tell me was there, but he was stressing me out for no fucking reason. You know,
you can't understand like why people like that are the way they are. But the only thing is, it's like if you're untalented on the receiving end of it, you got to stand your ground. And, you know, like you did, like, you know what? Fuck this shit, man. I'm out. Peace.
The Hyundai director, this one got mad over.
So do you know what a hot meter is?
No.
Me neither. This guy was screaming at me to go get a hot meter, right? Because I was like the first AC assistant camera. Yeah. So The director needed a hot meter, or and the DP needed a hot meter for the camera or whatever. And I'm going to Dan, he's the producer. I'm like, yo, what's a hot meter? We need a hot meter. And he's like, that, you know, what's that little machine thing where you measure the light, with the white ball on it?
A light meter.
Yeah, light meter. That's what I thought. So we kept bringing it to him. He's like, hot meter! Hot meter! And we're like, what the fuck? There's no hot meter. And then he starts cursing out in Korean. So he gets the Korean crew. They get in the car. As they're leaving, he rolls down the window, cusses me out in Korean. You know, shit, hot meter, I'm not touching it. And they get on the highway. We're in the desert filming, you know. It's like the secret Hyundai base. Yeah. You know, it was dope, actually. Yeah. But so as we're sitting around waiting, I'm like, we're getting around talking to the other crew, building the set and whatever. This guy comes back with a lens filter, right? It's called a hot mirror.
Fucking Korean accent.
Oh, shit.
I thought he needed to read like a hot meter.
Yeah.
Hot mirror.
Yeah.
But could you imagine the ego on this man?
Yeah.
When all he could have done is like explain what it looked like
right.
and what it did.
Right.
Can you Google that shit for me?
Yeah.
I Googled hot meter.
What is a hot meter?
Like a, hey, you need a thermometer?
What is a hot meter?
Yeah. I was like, do you need to like measure temperature? Yeah.
He like literally told him in Korean, like it's like in Korea, if you did this shit, you'd be fucking dead.
Yeah.
Like,
no, trust.
But that's kind of like a sign of how kind of the hierarchy there in Korea is like, right? He's top dog. He's the director. So everybody underneath him. You're just sucking my dick whenever I want you to.
It was very hard in a Korean church having people do that hyung shit to me.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm a very big kid.
Yeah.
And on top of that too, none of them were thugs.
Right.
So it's like, the fuck, bro? You guys live in some of the richest areas of Sacramento. Like, you can't talk to me like that.
Yeah.
But my father's a deacon at the church. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
I just had to sit there and fucking take it. And only the one time that I fucking snapped was when the guy kept slapping me upside my head, bro.
Oh, man.
The level of disrespect. He was just giggling and laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
And
Did you do one of these?
So at the church that we went to, there's like this curtain that kind of separates the Bible study area and then the ministry area, right? This is this big metal curtain. So I was tasked to close it. So I closed it and then thought it would be funny because he loved getting a giggle out of people. Slapped me upside my head one more fucking time. Mm. Came up to him. It's like, hey, man, come here. Let me talk to you for a second. Right? By the way, if you guys don't know, let me talk to you for a second. Is trouble. Yeah. Anybody says that, let me talk to you for a second, he's gonna fuck you up.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you for a second. Come up. I fucking shove him against the curtain super hard. Uh-huh. And I was like, bro, like, right, my dad's a deacon. I'm not gonna do anything to you. I know where the fuck you live.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fucking murder you, bro.
Yeah.
Don't you ever slap me upside my fucking head.
Yeah.
Right. And like the thing about it is, too, he knows where I'm from.
Mm.
He knows the people I kick it with, but he thought that he could put that little pout because it was the hyung type of shit.
Because he's like, older. He's a few months older than you.
Yeah. I was like, bro, there's real gangpins, bro. Like, you're not a gangpin. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And he just kept doing, oh, never touch me again, of course. Yeah. Right. And I was like, bro, this is inside the church. When you walk inside the church, I'll fucking stab you, dude.
It's some sort of delusion that comes with the Confucius idea of being an elder means that you're entitled to so much
exactly.
to servitude.
To and respect and, you know, all of that bullshit that comes with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this level of like servitude that they expect out of you, you know? And respect is always earned. You don't get respect just because you were born 2 years before me, you bitch made motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is this concept, dude? And I think like there's a weird relationship that happens, right? It's like, when you're in like Korean culture, when you're the younger dongsaeng, right? And somebody calls you their dongsaeng and then you get to call them your hyung, there's almost like a level of pride and happiness that you get from it, right?
Like you even though you kick their ass, you still buy them some food, you know?
You be an actual hyung to them.
Yeah, you take them bowling, you take them to tamajang, you go to PC-bang.
You look out for them. But then what you hear so many times, us growing up, is like, man, thinking back on it, my hyungs were pieces of shit.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be like this kind of guiding light for me, the older figure who like, you know, make sure that I stay out of trouble. Instead, they're getting you into trouble. They're corrupting you, making you do shit you don't want to do. And it's like, what the fuck? What kind of hyung is that in any sense of the word, right?
I can't even tell you how many times some hyung stole my food. That's the worst. That shit broke my heart.
Food. Yeah. That's on another level, bro.
Like, you know, I've been beaten up. They'll circle me and like tell me I need to take my beating and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd be macho, I'll take the hits. Mm-hmm. But when they took my food, man, like that's some of the shit that like broke my heart, like really made me upset. Like, fuck this shit.
You know, dude, what was one of the strangest requests I got as a hyung?
What?
Like me being the hyung. This dude came up and he's like, yo hyung, can you beat me up? What? He's like, yeah, I just want to get tougher. So can you like beat me up every day?
Like, what the fuck?
Hey, you're right.
Yeah, dude.
I was like, what are you asking? Are you asking me to fuck you up? Like you're requesting that you get jumped every single day. And he's like, yeah, because I want to be tougher. Shit.
I'll show you.
You ain't gotta ask me twice. Then yeah. Fuck. That was the weirdest fucking request.
It's odd too because, you know, when you're younger too, you really want to fit in, and then you start doing the stuff that you hated onto other kids because you feel like you have to.
Yeah.
Like you went through the flames and you went through the rite of passage. So now you have to do it to somebody else. Mm. And I specifically remember this moment where it was a younger cousin. And really soft kid, still a super sweet kid, right? Mm-hmm. Till this day. And people were bullying him, right? They were doing the hyung shit thing. And I felt obligated that I had to do it too, right? Because it was like, oh, I got it done. And, you know, I had my rite of passage or whatever.
Exactly. The rite of passage for a Korean.
And we were doing this thing where we were all going to go out to eat at this bakery called Le Bou. It's like this French bakery spot that it got really popular. Like sounds a Vietnamese.
Bougie as hell, bro.
It's not bougie. It's super cheap. It's just dill dip and bread. It's okay. The cheapest snack that you can get. It was like a dollar for the bread and then you get the dill dip on the side. It was, you know, whatever. We're going to take him. And so what we kept doing was we're like, hey, you can come with us. And, you know, nobody was at the church. And so we're like his only ride because we told his parents like, hey, we could take him. But they're like, we made him. The only way he could get into the car is that he had to jump into it as the car was driving.
That's the fucked up shit, bro. Holy shit.
Now, listen. I wasn't driving, so yeah. I didn't have control.
Oh, shit.
Right? So, but what we would do is because the door was open, when he would jump, we would slam the brakes, and then he would smash into the door.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
And I remember witnessing this, and I felt terrible. But I couldn't say anything because I was still a tongseng to them.
Yeah, you're gonna be made a little bitch if you say something.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just kept on like laughing uncontrollably. But I was
crying inside. But I was like traumatized.
I was like fake laughing. I didn't find it funny.
They're gonna do this to me?
Yeah. I didn't find it funny at all. I thought it was fucking cruel.
Yeah.
They did it to this kid over and it's my cousin too. Over this is my cousin.
So, is that just some kid is your cousin?
Yes,
Miss. Welcome to the club.
Yeah. But in my mind, I'm he's like, you want to be a namjoon? Come on, do this.
Yeah,
you know, and they did it to him over and over. And then he started crying.
Yeah.
And that shit broke my fucking heart, dude. And I was like, ha ha, guys, he's had enough. You know, I'm trying to play it off. Like, hey, he learned. Yeah. But I don't want to be a bitch too. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because these dudes were a lot bigger, you know?
It's that toxic masculinity thing, man.
I felt so fucking bad. Till this day, I look at him, dude, and I never apologize for it. I just bring it up to him, and I laugh at him.
Is he doing okay in life?
Yeah. No, he's fine. Okay. He's fine. Well,
she became
it's his younger brother.
Oh, shit. That's fucked up,
I've been holding that guilt in for a very long time.
He finally got it off his chest.
Finally got it off my chest.
Confession.
We had this kid running into a car.
Oh, while it's moving.
While it's fucking moving and slammed the brakes.
How fast were you guys going when
it wasn't like hella fast, but it was quick enough where this fool had to put some fucking juice into his legs. He had to just sprint for it.
The brakes.
Like, could you imagine somebody running full sprint and slamming the brakes and smashing into the car door?
Oh my God.
That's crazy, bro.
I was never a bully. I got bullied.
Yeah.
I just had to witness him and pretend like I enjoyed it. It was so hard. I just remember the guilt that was inside me, man.
Yeah, even if you try a little bit of bullying and it's not in you, you know it's wrong.
Yeah.
Did you guys have that thing when you guys were in high school where people used to get dumped in the trash cans?
Yeah.
Yeah, the toilet shit, the swirlies.
Yeah, swirlies, trash cans.
So my friend, like… I was near a trash can, dumped something. This guy grabbed me by the crotch underneath and then flipped me over in the trash can.
God damn. You know? I was too fat. Nobody could do that to me.
So I did the same to him later. I caught him near the trash can. I pulled the same shit off to him, right? And then next thing you know, I'm minding my business and this motherfucker dumps a trash can over my head. I'm sitting down, dumps a trash can over my head and starts beating the shit out of the trash can with me inside.
Oh shit.
And he's fucking angry.
Yeah.
And then I take it off. I'm like, yo, I just did the same thing to you. And this guy was steaming angry. I'm like, this motherfucker, you can dish it, but you can't take it. Like, you got to put the trash on me instead of catching me. Like, it wasn't even a joke anymore. It was just like, you made me feel like the way I made you feel.
And I didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
This one's not doing slam poetry for a living.
Dude, one time there was this younger kid and then like we were waiting to get into class and then like I was just joking around. I went up behind him and put him in a chokehold. I was like, hey, I'm gonna do it, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't put it in like fully. I just had the position on his neck, right? He got so freaked out. I was like, no. And then he went limp. I just let go like, oh shit. And he dropped, collapsed to the floor.
Oh no.
He hyped himself up so much that he fainted, bro. I was like, oh shit, man.
Dude, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, dude. He got so scared that he thought I was going to chokehold him, you know?
Did you guys used to do that thing where you would make people pass out on purpose?
Yeah.
Yeah. What? The chest thing, right?
Yeah, how come everybody knew about that?
Bro, I don't know what.
You're in LA. I'm in Sacramento. You're in Seattle. Yeah.
I don't understand the phenomenon for that because we didn't have a way to share.
Yeah. You
know? TikTok videos as teenagers.
It's not like it was on the internet forum. There was no forums for things to pass
let's
around.
Let's be honest. We saw some funny ass shit through that.
Yeah.
I was too fat. Nobody could do it to me.
Okay.
So you know, like getting thrown into like doing a swirly.
Yeah.
That's too much work.
Right.
I'm like I was this size when I was 14.
No, but the fainting. The fainting thing though, anybody could do. You just have to hold. Like, so basically, guys, for those of you who don't know what this is, you basically go down into a crouching position, put your
head.
Suck your
own dick.
And suck your own dick.
And hyperventilate.
Hyperventilate. And then you get up immediately. Obviously, you're going to get lightheaded. Then you hold your breath, put your hands on your chest, and somebody pushes it till you basically pass out.
Oh, is that how you did it?
Yeah.
Our technique was different.
What?
So what you would do is you would get a big motherfucker like me.
Yeah.
You choke him with your left hand.
And
you just slap the shit out of him. What you would do is you would get somebody like me. It's kind of like when you crack somebody's back.
Oh.
But you do it more towards the chest and you have them hold their breath and then I squeeze you make them hyperventilate.
So they have their back turned to you then?
Yes.
Wow.
And then I squeeze them and basically you kind of like elevate your head this way and it makes blood rush to your head and it causes you to hyperventilate.
Oh,
and then
shit.
You pass the fuck out.
Okay.
So I used to do it to this dude named Scott all the time.
All the time.
I shit you not. I'm not even exaggerating. I probably done it to him like 60 times.
Oh,
oh God.
This guy lost a lot of brain cells.
Well, he just liked it because he in the instant when he's knocked out, he would hallucinate.
Yeah,
he would
have a
crazy
dream. You have a crazy dream, bro. Yeah. I've done it personally, I think maybe about 2 or 3 times. And you wake up feeling like you took a really nice nap.
Yeah, you don't know where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know what's happened.
But it's so dangerous.
It's so dangerous.
Let's put a warning out there. Do not do this at home.
You guys told your guys' techniques.
Yeah. Oh, you have different technique.
My technique is the dumbest of them all. We'd actually do it to ourselves.
What?
Yeah. So we'd be at our desk. This was a school thing.
Yeah.
And then we'd bend over and hyperventilate and we come up and hold our breath.
Uh-huh.
Then we hold our necks like
this. You hold your breath yourself.
And you squeeze that side of your neck. Not
choke,
the carotid arteries.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you'd pass out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we do that to ourselves all day. Just like our first form of getting high.
What the fuck?
It's a lot dumber than your
ass. I never had it done to me. I was just too big. Nobody could lift me up.
So, you tried yourself. Our method, right, was you have to be pinned up against the wall or something.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah,
method
and
too.
Then so like you push them. But then the thing is, sometimes when people did it, they're the ones who are making somebody faint. They didn't realize that after they faint, they go limp.
Him.
Yeah, you got to catch them. So I've seen people fall headfirst onto the concrete.
Well, you guys did it outside?
Sometimes outside, yeah. Sometimes inside, anywhere.
Like we did it inside,
anywhere.
Hit
anywhere.
Their eye socket on their own knee.
Yeah. Yeah, like have people, it, like when we do it inside, like the hallways, like they'd scratch their back on the locker and they just have like
dude, bleeding. You know what this reminds me of? It's like different countries who have stories about dragons, but they right. all look different.
You know? How'd you know about passing out?
Yeah. That's so funny that we got regional techniques.
That has to be like a Korean thing then. They probably did it like in the 80s or some shit. Like Korean people did in the 80s. Yeah. It just transferred over to us.
Yeah, because I've actually never had that conversation, I don't think, outside of Koreans of like, them doing that.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that Korean crazy. I've seen them play weird ass games where you stack up against the wall with your head and they try to mount you.
This has nothing to do with anything else, but I just remember the guy that I used to always make him pass out all the time.
Yeah.
He did one of the most awkward things ever. So, you know, when you're young and you're in love, you do a lot of just really stupid shit for the girls that you like, right? Mm. So there's this girl who lived in our neighborhood that moved back to Texas. And then when she came back, this guy had a huge crush on her. Do you guys remember this song, Sukiyaki by 4 p.m.?
I don't even
know. It's all because of you.
4 p.m. was a group?
I think so. I'm feeling down and blue. You went away. Now my life is just a rainy day. No?
I don't know.
Well, anyways, that song was really popular.
But what kind of racist fucking name for this? Sukiyaki, bro.
You know, I never looked that up. I think it was Asian people that sang it.
Oh, they're eight? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So. It's a bunch of white guys and fucking Red Pinstripe Quartet. No,
but this love song name, what?
Yeah, either the group was called Sukiyaki or the song was called 4 p.m. or it was the other way around, okay. Right? You guys could look it up. So this was a love song. It was very popular. It was like during the time of like All for One and those Filipino groups that were out too. In the middle of a party. So we used to have these 4th of July parties. So every time there was a 4th of July, those block parties, people would light up fireworks and we would walk around and do that in high school. Mm. I only brought this up because this guy specifically, I remember the shit. One of the most, as I think about it, I'm getting goosebumps. This is the most creepiest, corniest thing I've ever seen somebody do. Motherfucker, you know what you did. So he gets all of us around. We're in the living room, right? He sits a chair in the middle and he goes, I want to sing a song for you. Dog, I'm cringing right now. There's somebody recorded this on a videotape because of how embarrassing it is.
Well, how many people were there at the party?
There was like 12 people.
Oh, okay, so a good amount of people.
So 12 people are sitting
enough
around.
Enough to spread a good rumor.
Yeah.
And you could
not
see.
Not a rumor.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
One day, I'm going to get the homie Corey to give me this fucking videotape. But this dude was, you could see her just like this, uncomfortable, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And he's whisper singing in her ear.
Oh, this song.
It's all because of you.
Oh, no.
And it's recorded on video. Oh, we sat through that whole song watching this fool.
He sang the whole song.
The whole
Not
song.
Not even a verse.
3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
Of off-key bliss.
Oh, my God. And then was there like a do you like me checkbox?
Bro, the most awkward thing I've ever witnessed in my life. I've never seen somebody do something that corny
just
ever.
Just like, thank you. Okay, see you later.
I just remember her leaning off, just so uncomfortable. And I don't know why he chose to do it in front of all of us.
He probably thought it was a good idea in his head. Like, I'm going to show everybody how much I love you.
Which actually goes back to another memory, too.
Yeah.
I also choked this dude out. It's like my go-to move, dude.
Yeah. Oh, because you're mad at him.
Yeah. So
not for fun choke out.
Oh, no.
Okay.
So in high school, obviously, like, snitching and disloyalty are two of the things you don't
man.
Do, right?
It's like super the prison bad, system.
Right? So there was a homegirl who was having an after party because we just graduated high school, right? Was it graduated high school? Did we graduate? Some shit happened. I don't know. It
Did
was
you
like,
graduate?
Yeah, I forgot what the fuck it was, but it was a party at her house. It might have been her birthday and her parents were out, right? So we were all deciding that we were going to go camping. There was this dude that nobody fucking liked, right? It was just like Fijian Punjabi dude, right? Habitual liar, fucking annoying. And I'm like, oh, we're gonna go camping, but we're not gonna invite him out, right?
Yeah.
So this dude comes up and then instead of saying like we don't want him to go, he goes and tells him, he goes, oh, you can't be invited because David doesn't want you there.
Right? What the fuck?
And I'm like, what a little snitch. Yeah. Right? And first of all, it was all of us.
Yeah.
So I heard this because that dude came up to me. He goes, how come you don't want me to go there? Blah, blah, blah. He was like coming up. And I was like, well, first of all, get the fuck away from me. I'll beat your ass. Yeah. like, get the fuck away from me. You know, at the time, that's just what we did. We just threw down whenever we had problems with people. Yeah. And he couldn't fight. So I'm like, get the fuck out of my face. But I started sitting there. I was stewing. And I'm like, why the fuck did he just snitch me out like that, dude? Like the idea was that, hey, we all don't want him here, but I was very vocal about it as I am now as a human being. And so we're at this after party or the party for this girl's birthday or it was like a graduation thing. I forgot what the fuck it was. And my best friend is in the car with me, my buddy Gabo. He was like, hey, bro, you're smiling. And I know when you're smiling, it means you're mad. Mm. He's like, hey, he's going to be at the party. Yeah. It's a birthday party. You need to keep it chill. Don't do anything. I was like, I'm not going to do anything. Just tell him just to stay the fuck away from me and don't talk to me. And I'm going to keep it super chill. Yeah. Guess what happens? I get out the car. He comes up to me. David!
Oh, God.
Drunk as fuck, right? Yeah. And then Gobble's like, fuck.
Yeah.
I storm up this dude. I fucking grab him by the throat. I choke him. I fucking WWF choke some and lift him up shit. And I slam him into the trunk of a car.
Undertaker special, bro.
Bro, and I smash him into the car, right? Yeah. And then people are fucking grabbing me. Gabo's grabbing me. Like, he goes, yo, what the fuck is going on? I was like, so you fucking ratted me out, you fucking bitch, right?
Oh, man.
He so drunk, he looks at me. Blank and he goes, starts throwing up all over the driveway.
That anxiety caught up. When you're drunk and anxious, you'll throw up.
Yaks all over the fucking place. Yeah. And then after he apologizes, I'm like, he threw up. What am I going to sock this dude?
Yeah.
You know? You punch him while he's yakking.
Yeah. It's like he makes you a bad person. And after that, I was just like, I've been choking people since I was in high school, dude.
So, and then the people move. Trying to squirrel out their way of like their own responsibilities that they're put onto something. They gotta push it on. Yeah, they want to push it off to someone else. I mean, whether you're their friend or not, someone is always like below you that you can like use as a pawn or some shit. Like life is a big game of chess.
Hey man, if you do some shit, just own up to it. What the fuck is gonna happen? Nothing. Nothing is gonna happen.
Well, you might get your ass beat. But
yeah. Well, then keep your fucking mouth shut, dude. Yeah. I've gotten my ass beat plenty of times. I just had to own up to it.
Yeah,
it is
exactly.
What it is.
Just get what's coming to you. Just deal with it and move on. You know what I mean?
No, it's because people don't want to deal with it.
That's true. That's
like
true.
Not own up to like all these stories we have, like my dumbass stories. I talk about them because I own the shame.
Yeah.
And nobody else does. You can't shame me for the thing I shame myself for, right? Like you can't hate me more than I hate myself.
Come on, man.
Yeah. So that's literally the play. But the other side of it just being like when you are held accountable for yourself and you can own this as a story, as a part of your life. Then you can grow and learn, or you're gonna keep doing the same bullshit apology and you're just gonna keep doing bullshit to forget about it and keep continuing
like this motherfucker that we had talked about at the beginning.
Exactly. It's the same kind of attitude for sure.
Dude, I just knew a lot of, you know what's weird? Whenever I go back and I meet some people that I haven't seen in a while, I'm like, y'all are weird, dude.
Yeah.
Y'all are some fucking, I thought I was weird. Yeah. I'm weird in the sense of how I speak and like how vocal I am and I don't really have like a filter. But just like certain like small behaviors, when I look back and I look at these stories, because I forget about it, right? Because this same guy too, he got dumped by this one girl that he was madly in love with. And inside his trunk, there was like this case of red vine licorice that she bought. That fool kept it in his car for like 2 years.
Oh,
and then I remember we're like in the trunk and then we're like, oh shit, there's licorice. Let's get some. He goes, nah. It's Sarah's. I'm like, bro, y'all broke up like 2 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
This dude's he's on some other tip.
A little fucking weird.
Yeah, he's on some other tip, man.
And for some reason, like, I think as an adult, we're like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? But when you're in high school, you're just like, he's just being him.
Is he still out there?
I think he's like engaged or married now, so he's good.
But he's in the same environment, I mean.
No, he moved to, I think he's like in, near Seattle or something like that. Right. It's one of those upper states or whatever.
Yeah, I think that when you're in your own town, that's not a giant ass city.
Yeah.
You know, like SF, LA, Chicago, New York, whatever, right? Each town, each city has their own little culture in there, you know, where people behave a certain way for sure. I've seen it where it's like it's their island. Even though they have the ability to travel, they don't leave. And then they kind of go with the flow of how society is in that area.
It's like a bubble.
It's a bubble.
Yeah, I just never been able to take a step back and kind of look at it from a distance, right? Just like, oh, these people are really fucking odd, man. But then I was really odd too. So I think like we just kind of meshed together at the time.
Yeah.
But like imagine somebody just kept licorice in the car for 2 years. Yeah, and then when I tried to take one, he cried.
So everybody's got their delusions, right?
That's a little off though. Yeah.
I was just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But.
Don't touch it. It's Sarah.
So you don't shake it. Yeah.
You could have just said like, hey, it's really old. Don't eat it.
Yeah, exactly. It's been sitting in the sun, bro.
Why is it in there?
Yeah. You didn't have to do
we
all that.
Yeah, we didn't ask for the story.
Hey, I had to do all that, bro. What the fuck was that about, man?
Well, guys, might as well fess up.
That wraps up this episode of the Genius Brain Podcast. We were actually supposed to discuss a topic and I completely forgot.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I wouldn't have anything to say about it. I would have sat in silence.
But you could catch Ed at Ed2 and Secret Society.
Cop the gear, y'all. Sunset, Palo, Windsor, head to toe, man.
That's right. You can catch Ed at Ed Park VP. By the way, that's S-C-R-T. Society, skirt, society, and Ed Park VP once again, and also Ed too. Genius Brains every Thursday and Sundays, and we'll see you all next time. Peace.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.